Going to get started. And Representative Gunther is going to do most of the heavy lifting as we move through this. We have to get a quorum so we can start to take action. But just the process today, we're going to start with House File 577, which will be the vehicle for the Bowser budget. We're just going to put that on the table. We've had testimony on that again. Then we are going to move the agenda so that 1930 is next. And then Representative Junkie, 593. We'll try to get him in the middle. We do have the budget item is the A5 amendment. And then we will finish with 1343, if possible. We're just waiting for a quorum. I can probably go up and start.
Welcome to your committee.
As I mentioned, with House File 577 is the ditch buffer bill, and we did amend that yesterday and added a component for Representative Cornish. The first bill, 1930, that we'll take up after 577 is the result of reforms the legislative auditor has presented to the committee. The Board of Water and Soil Resources has provided some response to the that has been put together as 1930. We have added a couple issues. The watershed districts had an issue with credit card use, and then we added managers of watershed districts and water management organizations and supervisors of soil and water conservation districts as public officials. The first amendment I have to this, also when we discovered that watershed districts didn't have the credit card authority, we also discovered the soil and water conservation districts did not have the credit card authority. So the 0462 amendment, maybe I could have Mr. Dashby from the Board of Water and Soil Resources address.
Morning. Your name for the record?
John Dashby, Director of Board of Water and Soil Resources. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen noted there was an inclusion in the 1930 that added watershed districts' ability to have credit cards as a way to manage their fiscal operations. There was a statute in place already that allowed that for cities and counties, and so they were mimicking that language for watershed districts, and the same exact argument would apply to having that same provision applied to soil and water conservation districts as a way to manage their finances.
Any questions?
Since we can't pass an amendment yet. Thanks, sir.
Take any questions on 1930? Okay. Anybody have any questions on House File 1930? 577 or Amendment A5 for 577. Everybody's completely informed. Yeah. These are crazy.
Maybe. Give us another overview of Bob and Fuego.
We'll officially call this meeting to order. And we have before us House File 577. And we have brought the A5 amendment to the table. Is there any questions about the A5 amendment?
So, yeah, Representative Chair, it's 1930. We're moving first.
Okay, 1930
first?
1930 first. Okay. So I move House File 1930. As an amendment to House File 577. And then I would move the 0462 amendment to that amendment.
462. So we have the 0462 amendment to the 1930 amendment to 577. Any questions about any of these amendments? Seeing none. Representative Hansen moves those the 1930 be amendment to 5. You want to go through that?
0462 as amendment to 1930.
You want to describe the 0462 amendment?
0462 amendment is credit card use, authorizing supervisors of soil and water conservation districts to use the credit card. Mr. Chair, when I was a supervisor of the Soil and Water Conservation District, I know when you went to conferences, the district did use credit cards, but apparently we did not have that express authority. So in 1930, it was discovered that the watershed districts didn't have it, and since we moved 1930, we've also discovered the soil water conservation districts did not have the express authority. So the 0462 amendment is needed to bring you that in line. I'd ask for your support.
Representative Hansen moves the 0462 amendment. All in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Amendment passes. Which we have next?
1930 as amended.
Okay. Representative Hansen moves the 1930 amendment as an amendment to 577. Any questions about that amendment? Seeing none, Representative Hansen moves the 1930 amendment to 577. All in favor of that signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And what do we have next?
A5.
A5. Wait to see this when it's all done. Representative Hansen moves the A5 amendment to 577. Any questions about this amendment?
If I could walk through this, this is the budget for the Border, Water, and Soil Resources. Earlier in committee, we heard a presentation from the Border, Water, and Soil Resources. We have made some changes. Our target was essentially the same as the governor's target, but we have made some changes within the budget. And I'd like to walk through those. And I know that this is the first time that folks have seen this. I did not get the final copy till Mr. Helen gave me the last copy at 6:30 last night at the end of the year. So we've slowly walked through this. Before I do that, I want to say that I appreciate the work that's gone into preparing the budgets and spent a lot of time in this committee. I do want to note that the executive branch and the legislative branch are two different branches of government. We have the prerogative to set different priorities here as we go through the process, and I think that this budget shows some reprioritization. Different priorities. In addition, we are responding in the budget to heard in testimony from citizens and the legislative auditor on more transparency and accountability. We had components of the budget that are heard in the overall environment committee on some GOP bills. Probably the largest disappointment in the budget is it does not have my House file to add $1 million per year to the general service grants to the soil and water conservation districts. That is not in here. We do not have the target to do that. Block grants. This language is fairly similar. It's the governor's recommendation. We'll get into general purpose grants. And most important difference here is in 1.18, 1.19, 1.20, and says that any district requesting a grant under this subdivision shall create and maintain a web page that publishes at a minimum its annual plan, annual report, annual audit, annual budget, and including membership dues and meeting notices and minutes. We heard testimony that only about a third of the soil and water conservation districts had web pages, feel that it's important for transparency and accountability when there are state dollars going to the districts that they need to have these items included. Cost sharing grants. The total amount of the cost share is $3.285 million per year. What we have done here is we've made a prioritization change in the prior budgets and in the governor's budget recommendations. There was $1.5 million for feedlot water quality cost share grants. We note that last fiscal year of that $1.5 million, half a million was returned to Bowser unused in that grant process. We believe it's important. We've heard testimony in multiple committees and on the floor of the House about the need to deal with native vegetation, prairie carbon sequestration, cellulosic biofuels, and so we are saying that $1.2 million of the first year and $1.2 million of the second year are for grants for cost sharing to establish vegetative buffers. We have 577 deals with requirements under drainage law. What this, our intent here is that Bowser work on the voluntary establishment of buffers, trying to get native vegetation established. And one way they could do that would be maybe provide additional incentives along with the federal CRP program or through their existing cost share, but we're pumping new money into that for the goal of getting more buffers on the land. In addition, we and you will hear this later in the in Representative Wiginius's committee. We hear, and I believe that there's kind of two roles or two areas when we talk about conservation, that the DNR is responsible for public land conservation and that the Board of Water and Soil Resources is responsible and, I believe, effective in private land conservation. We have heard a lot about invasive species. We've heard about native species. And what we're doing here is taking a component. I do see there's a typo on line 1.26 where it's 300,00. There should be another zero in there. And there's a period 2.125. But that would, this is taking a part of my bill that was put together by the Nature Conservancy to deal with invasive species. And so we believe that Bowser has an effective way of getting money out to local units of government. And that if we're going to do private lands conservation dealing with invasive species and native species, that they can be the delivery system for that. I think we'll hear later in Representative Wiginius's committee that the DNR can focus on the public lands and try to work on what we own. And Bowser is effective in getting conservation on private lands. When we get to the second page, we have Red River Basin Plan. This is similar to same as the governor's. We do add a subdivision or subdivision 5. I believe there's additional money here for Representative Magnus's area 2. I think there's a little more money here than in the governor's recommendation. Clean Water Legacy. When we get into Clean Water Legacy, we do some additional targeting in Clean Water Legacy. We have the grant funds, but primarily we get into the individual sewage treatment system programs. And we are referencing, Representative Knuth has a bill looking at ordinances, and what we're saying here is that this is an encouragement for local units of government to adopt those ordinances. If they adopt the ordinances, then they can get grants, $60,000 each year, $60,000 up to $60,000 first year, $60,000 second year to inventory ISTS systems that are imminent threat to public health. We believe, you know, this legislature and the previous legislature have had testimony about ISTS systems, straight pipe systems, and rather than distributing the money across all counties, we're looking here at targeting and rewarding those counties that have taken the leadership and adopted the ordinances, and we're putting more money into that than I believe was in the governor's budget. And then there's a reporting requirement. In addition, we believe that a compelling testimony from Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board, the Minnesota River Board, and we're providing $100,000 there to them to work and measure report projects within the 12 major watersheds within the Minnesota River Basin. We get to the wetland conservation implementation, and these are primarily the budget, the governor's budget recommendations, except that instead of $60,000 for the watershed vision for the state, we are appropriating $60,000 for the rulemaking required under the changes to the Wetlands Conservation Act. Drainage work group, these recommendations are the same as the governor's. And then kind of on the same theme related to what 1930, we're saying we're giving direct authority to Bowser to reduce, withhold, or redirect grants or funding if a local water management entity has not corrected deficiencies as prescribed in a notice from the board within 1 year from the date of the notice. And I think the auditor and we've heard some testimony about, so we're giving some more direct authority here to the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And with that, I will.
Any questions for the A5 amendment?
I think Mr. Jaschke had a question on line 2.21 for Mr. Schellen.
Members, Mr. Jaschke, I don't have my notes. I don't know what the intent of the author was there. If it was for the each year or for the 2 year period.
I think we were following the 750 from the.
Right.
Yeah.
Our right
there, Mr. did the math and quickly here said that it looks like it was meant for the 2 year period. That would make the numbers add up to the total. So.
And I think that. In the governor's budget, the 750 was listed once, not as each year, but I don't have it in front of me.
I don't either, but we just said that it's meant for 1.65 million is meant for the 2 year period. I think I just wanted to there is a photographic on 1.64.
Yep.
Somehow didn't get in.
No, it's a. We've got it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Then we'll give you
subdivision 4 and subdivision 5 were really part of the cost share contract and not separate subdivisions. I think council could make that.
Actually, I think they are separate because the cost share is directed to SWCDs, whereas these two are the Red River Basin Plan and the Minnesota River Basin projects are different entities, so they wouldn't fall under that. So, and I think we took that from the other bill. So I think we have that correct as having those as separate subdivisions.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none.
I think there was Mr. Helen, did Representative Moe had
Mr. Chair?
Representative Ansel.
I believe that there's an amendment that Mr. Helen has.
It's being passed out.
Okay. Page 2.94. After the period,
Representative Ansel's moving the A6 amendment.
Insert that language there, please.
And on page 2, line 4, insert the language of. Board shall develop forestry practice docket to cost your monies.
Mr. Chair, maybe Mr. Jaschke just explain the cost share and the list of practices that they
Mr. Chairman and members, I think the intent would be for the board to develop provision in our current cost share program that would provide for some sorts of forestry practices within that program. And that's my understanding.
Correct.
I think first we should probably act on the A5 amendment. All in favor of the A5 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying aye also. Amendment passes. Now to the A6 amendment. Mr. Jasky, you described it pretty well. Is there any questions? The A6 amendment. Seeing none. Representative Anzo moves the A6 amendment. All in favor of that amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment passed. Representative Hanson.
I'd like to give the Board of Water and Sewer Resources the opportunity to respond to the A5 amendment.
Mr. Jasky.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, President Hanson went through fairly thoroughly, and I'm not going to match up the comparisons with the governor's recommendations, but I think he described them accurately as well. One point I would make, I guess, beginning with the cost share contract language, beginning on line 1.21, feedlot water quality funding that he alluded to that had been recommended at $1.5
million. Yeah.
He mentioned the fact that there was $500,000 that was returned in this recent fiscal year, and there were some unusual circumstances associated with that. The bulk of that, or probably about a fifth of that money, $100,000 or more, came from one of our soil and water conservation districts who unfortunately had their district manager pass away with a suicide, so they had some circumstances that they couldn't control, and they had to send the money back because they had no means to implement it. That money comes back and gets redistributed back onto the same projects in other places, and that's the way this program has always worked. And so although we have an unusually large return for this 1 year, it's not reflective of the way the program works generally. We generally have a number more around 5 or 7% that gets returned annually because the projects just don't come to fruition. So that's my only comment on that. I think the rest of it, Representative Hanson described and thoroughly enough that I don't need to provide any additional follow-up. I guess the other point about the rulemaking was the only one I would mention. I think that there are some on page line 3.9. There is some rulemaking that we'll come to see in House File 1343, and I think that's what the intention was for this funding. So, that understanding, I'll end my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Very well. Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We make a couple amendments, technical amendments. Mr. Reinholz is going to talk about. We're actually giving Representative Magnus's bill a little more money, and we need to correct that here. So, Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, members, working off the House 577A5 amendment, the HO 577A5, on page 2, subdivision 5 on lines 10 through 13, on 210, the subdivision would be, in this amendment, would be moved to become part of subdivision 6. Trying to find out a spot where it will fit in there the best. It could fit in. Right after the ISTS portion of it, which would bring it down to. $2.34 after the period, could insert that subdivision, the language in subdivision 5, and also changing the numbers on 210 to in both years to read 140 rather than 105. And on line 214, then the numbers would be increased by 105 in each year. And Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, you could incorporate into the same amendment, but also I believe since 1930 has been rolled into, has already been amended in, if on 1930, if you would strike section 4 on page 3, there's an appropriation there that isn't needed any longer.
I would move that amendment.
Any questions on that oral amendment? Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, members, the amendment will move the language from subdivision 5, 2.10 to 2.13, down to line 234 after the period, and also change the numbers in 2.10 to 140,000 in each year, and change the numbers on 2.14 to 5,545,000. Excuse me, I'm adding up here as I talk. I have to add 105 to that. It would be 555 in each year. 5,555 in each year.
Any questions about the oral amendment? Seeing none, Ben Hansen Incorporated then. We got to call that back on the table, don't we? Members of the full bill, as we already amended. Okay, we'll vote on that oral amendment to the full bill. All in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
We're on A5. The coffee's kicking in, Representative.
We're making progress. You already passed the amendment.
Oh, we did. So we're on 577. Oh. I did send for Representative Junkie. Maybe we could do the minutes.
Okay.
We'll move.
Amendments. Which amendments? Minutes. Okay. Representative Anzo moves amendments from 13th. And the 20th. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, same sign. Minutes are approved. We ask for testimony.
Maybe we can take testimony on the.
Is there anybody?
I know that Representative Junkie is going to come up, so maybe we take testimony on 577 as amended.
You may have any testimony in 577 as amended from the audience. Welcome to the committee. Give your name for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is John Waller. I'm from 14010 Homestead Avenue, Hugo, Minnesota, and I'm here representing myself and my family farm. I've had extensive experience in trying to get ditches profiled and work with it over the years of 10 years in dealing with the ditch here. I'm very happy and very supportive of Representative Hansen's bill, which brings money for the buffers and the study to bring these facts out into light that may have been lost over the years or misplaced in the county records. And we're establishing these profiles, establishing the buffers, establishing the right-of-ways, establishing what the property right is, and the capacity of them. This is a very important part of maintaining the state's very important and inexpensive infrastructure for food, fiber, and fuel production here in Minnesota. And I appreciate that very much. I hope that if some of you return to the legislature after the next year's election, you would consider putting more money in towards this part of the study group, and in getting the dollars, because that is a very, very important infrastructure to maintain. And I remind you that the state symbol has two men on it. One is an agrarian and one is a hunter-gatherer. And the hunter-gatherer is leaving, and the agrarian is the one who's still here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Erickson. Give your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Judy Erickson, and I represent the Minnesota Association of Stormwater Conservation District. And I just want to raise a couple of comments and hope that we can work with the author on this as we go before we go to the next stop. But on the cost share provision, we would be concerned. I know our members would be concerned about the loss of the direct relationship to the feedlot water quality cost share activities that are going on out there. Feedlots was a huge issue in this legislature not that long ago, and we did a lot of work on targeting money to feedlot water quality cost share, and that specific reference is now gone, and we would like to work with the author and the committee to make sure that that aspect of those activities are still covered. We are adding additional cost share activities under this without any additional resources. So we want to make sure that the work that is out there that still needs to be done in feedlot water quality continues while we address new and emerging issues. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your comments. I'm sure Representative Hanson would be willing to work with you. Representative Junkie.
I would move House File 593 as an amendment to 577, and Representative Junkie is here to speak to the
Mr. Chairman and members, most of you have seen this. If you haven't, a reminder that it basically only pertains to newly created or newly restored wetlands, has nothing to do with any existing or expanded wetland. It simply allows that if that wetland adjoins a public right-of-way, a road or a park or some other public right-of-way, that the landowner, once it's restored, can post it like a regular no-hunting posting type thing or no-trespassing posting and keep people off that 5 or 10 acre piece. Again, we've run into some trouble along the way out in western Minnesota, at least, where a farmer will restore a 5 acre piece next to his homestead, and all of a sudden off the road comes a duck hunter next duck hunting season, and he didn't realize that he had just created a public water. So we want to encourage wetland creation out there, and this bill, I think, will address that so we can utilize fish and wildlife dollars and other things that are out there available at this point in time.
Okay. Any questions from the members? Representative Tinglestad.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if I missed it. So we're looking at House File 593 as an amendment to this one. Is that right?
That's correct. Any other questions? Seeing none. Representative Junkie moves 593 as amended.
I can't move it.
Representative Hanson moves 593 to be an amendment to 577, House File 577. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
And now we're on 1343. I have several amendments.
You want to take the 0371 amendment?
You need it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move House File 1343 as an amendment to 577. Amendment to the amendment.
You want to amend 1343 first?
Correct.
Hey, you want to describe the amendment?
0371 amendment. In the Environment Committee, Representative Osmond had an oral amendment that changed or to of on page 2, line 33. And upon review with council and with Bowser, it really should be or instead of. So this amendment changes that back. And Mr. Jaschke, I believe we've talked to Mr. Representative Osmond on this. And
you want to incorporate that?
I think we have to do it.
Okay. Representative Hansen amends the 1343, House File 1343 with 0371 amendment. Any questions from the members? All in favor of that amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment carried.
Okay, next would be the 0447 amendment. Jaschke, you can speak to this one.
So Jaschke.
There are several corrections to the language itself. The first one, with the reading entirety of section one, because that language was developed in response to a court matter that was resolved by the Supreme Court just last week, so that language is no longer needed. So that language is not in entirety. The next amendment, on page 2, line 34, and the objective here is just to make clear that there's a specific point at which both the local government who is making the decision and the applicant who is waiting for understand when that time clock of 60 days begins after a complete application has been submitted and deemed complete. The next item, amendment 1.5, page 3, line 1, and again, what we're trying to do there is state that a delineation, which is the on-the-ground determination of the wetland boundary, the local government often, in all cases, does not actually do the delineation, but simply verify the delineation that was submitted by the applicant. Next one on line, page 4, line 34. There were some concerns raised in the local government committee and by local governments themselves, the road authority in particular, and also developers, that we wouldn't be able to, without some additional language, allow for wetlands that are part of a water quality treatment train to be given credit for wetland replacement. And so what this provision does is state that wetlands that are built as part of a treatment training can be given wetland replacement credit if there is some pre-treatment to that wetland, to the water that is going to be directed to it. So the stormwater, the water of the wetland needs to be pre-treated. Everyone understands that that's basically the regulatory requirement in this case now. So it's a clarification. And that would be consistent with, say, other language that's also in the bill later on page 18, lines 14 through 19. The next item is on page 13. Line 34, you'll see that there's continuing language on page 14, and what this language does is establishes several zones for wetland protection around
water bodies, lakes and rivers. And we established three zones. One is the building setback zone, which is the area between the structure and the actual water body. The second one is the flood protection zone, which is a area that goes out a bit further. And then there's the shoreland zone, which is the area that is included in the zoning provisions that are applicable to shoreland areas. And so this language clarifies that the amount of 100 square feet for the de minimis applies in the building setback zone. That this 100 square feet. Let me double check because this language is more complicated than it used to be. What this does is it says that the wetland types, we've got several factors going on here, that wetland amount and that wetland type and also wetland location. But this does is clarify that those wetland types that are listed in the clauses above, types 1, 2, 6, and 7, and also 1, 2, 6, and 7, and then 1, 2, 6 in the west and 50% part of the state, that this 100 square foot would apply to those to other wetland types, which are the types 3, 4, 5 wetlands, open water wetlands, outside of this area between the lake and the building site. So, bottom line is we can fill 100 square feet of types 3, 4, 5 wetland outside the building setback zone. To draw you a picture, perhaps you can explain it better, but that's what this language is accomplishing. And then page 14, line 1, is accomplishing that same objective, to be clear about where now the 400 square foot minimum amount occurs, which is the area beyond the building setback zone for those same areas.
I think just a small technical clarification back on page 4, line 33. This is really getting to be a run-on clause here, and there's two different determinants in it. To put a comma after management, I think would make it read better and more understandable. We're adding on line 34, unless the design includes a pretreatment of runoff, I think we need a comma on after management on line 33.
Everybody want to understand that oral amendment?
Chair,
you want to incorporate that?
I just want to make a comment first that we did go through local government. We had some concerns raised trying to work with folks as we move through the process to address some of those concerns, and I think this amendment helps. And so I would move 804 for 7-2-43.
Any questions from the member on the 80447 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Doty.
I think for clarification on line 34, page 4, after the language which we already have, if we would include these words, and the pond is functioning as a wetland.
Could you tell us where you're at again?
On page 4, line 34, we're already looking at changes in that on the 447 and 807.
That's correct.
In addition to those changes, the following language, and the pond is functioning as a wetland.
I would incorporate that on 1.7 in the 0447 amendment.
Thank you. Thank you. Incorporated your amendment. Appreciate that.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Hansen, we got approved the 447 amendment. All in favor of the 0447 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Here we have the next one is the 0445. members. I'd have Mr. Jaski speak to that.
Mr. Jaski.
Chairman, members, this applies to a reprovision of the security of the grain system budget. The idea is that land that is crossed in 10 years would be exempt from what regulations that crop and history is showing. And there was a change made to what was legal at one point in time to have this phrase and subsequently harvested. And we believe that that's not necessary. It doesn't really add anything because the real issue is getting the crop in the ground. That's when the soil conditions are the most sensitive and the most likely to be wet. And further, it's unclear as to how you describe what harvested is. Some crops are harvested at various times of the year. Sometimes they're harvested more than once. It really doesn't add anything to what we were trying to accomplish.
Very well. Any questions or discussion about the 0445 amendment? Seeing none, Representative Hansen moves the 0445 amendment. All in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Those are the amendments that I have. I know that there's still discussions taking place. I think the route of this bill has to be included to represent the Unions Committee tonight or tomorrow. So we may want to take some testimony on 1343 now. I think we have to take the appropriations out of 1343 because we put them in elsewhere. So I would move to strike section 19.
Okay, Representative Hansen offers an oral amendment to strike section 19. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor of striking section 19 as oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. With that, we should probably vote on House File 1343 as amendment to an amendment to 577. Is that correct? Representative Finkelstead.
Mr. Chair, just a question to Representative Hansen. The repealer on page 20 of the 1343.
Yep.
I know that there is an attachment. Maybe if you could just give us a quick 30-second thing on that repealer.
Mr. Gaskin.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tingle said that removes an exemption which was known as the approved development exemption. When the law was passed originally in 1991, there was a time period that allowed persons who had permits in place to go ahead and exercise those permits without being subject to the law. That time period is long ago passed, and so that was recommended to be removed as part of the stakeholder process that was held this past year.
So, Representative Hansen moves that the House File 1343, as amended, be amended to 577, House File 577. Is there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I think the bill's the way you want it now.
It is the way I want it, and I know there's probably some people who want it.
We certainly encourage that to happen. Anybody from any members would like to talk about it first? Any comments? Anybody in the audience that would like to talk about House File 577 as amended? Welcome to the committee. Please give your name for the record. Ladies first.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you very much. I'm Lisa Furnett. I'm with the Builders Association of Minnesota. We have a couple of concerns with the bill. Unfortunately, I removed my glasses, so I can't see anything. The first is in Section 2 under the deadline for response of 1599 rule. We're opposed to the changes in this for the reason that last year we passed a 60-day rule, which in fact is really a 120-day rule. It allows the builder some comfort in knowing that their application process will be completed. Builders currently go through three processes as it is. We have a conceptual idea process where we do we go out and we do a review. We have a tech panel come out, go through everything. We then do the preliminary plat process, which is another 120-day process, and we do the final or the complete application process and hand everything in. This statute would leave the builders hanging indefinitely, and a new homeowner who is coming out to build a house would be hanging out also with not knowing when their home was going to be built. We have a problem with the, not a problem, I believe that Representative Hansen and Senator Chaudhry are working with us to alleviate our concerns on the stormwater credit, which is on page 4, and what the stormwater credit would not allow us to do.
Could you tell me section 2 of what document?
Of the first engrossment, 1343.
1343, okay. That 1343 has been amended, although we don't have the revised. So we go back. Section 2, page 2 of 1343.
Under page 2, line 32. Okay, and then so our concerns there is that it tolls the statute of limitations and leaves the homeowner who's building a house and the builder hanging out not knowing when the complete application process is going to be finished. We currently have three different ways that we go through to make sure that the wetland delineation process is completed and fully understood so that everybody is comfortable with passing the complete application. And then the stormwater pond credit is on page 4. Down on 431, it starts on E there. And currently we get a wetland credit if we go a step further than the stormwater pond. And what we'd hate to see is a disincentive for the builders to create a full wetland that will only be progressive for the state and the area in terms of doing what wetlands are supposed to do, where a stormwater pond will just kind of sit there. Those are our concerns. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, very briefly, Peter Coyle, I represent the Builders Association of the Twin Cities, and I'm also working with New Summit. So I want to just elaborate on the 60-day concerns that were raised. The 60-day statute was enacted by the legislature probably a half a dozen, maybe 10 years ago. And the primary objective was to give local government a formal window in which to complete its work on a complete development application. Just last year, the legislature amended the 60-day statute to include within the 4-month time frame watersheds and soil and water conservation districts. But the premise of the whole process is that statutory process doesn't begin to work until you've given them a complete application. And what this new language in Section 2 is suggesting is that if there's a challenge raised to a wetland midstream, it creates an immediate timeout with no close date, no resolution process, no confirmation back to the applicant that they're ever going to get back on track. And the whole reason that watersheds and the soil and water conservation folks were put into the statute last year with the support of the public agencies that we were working with at the time, principally the cities, was to try to ensure that there was finality, that there was a certainty there that everybody could rely upon. And this new proposal, which is reflected in Section 2 but also in Section 16, just basically creates an out-of-jail-free card. And that frankly, respectfully, runs counter to what we've been trying to work on over the last half a dozen years with this time frame bill. So that's our primary concern. We visited with Representative Hansen about it, and we just wanted to make you aware of our concern. We're happy to continue to talk about it with stakeholders, but it's an important issue for the development community.
Certainly appreciate that. Mr. Jansky.
Mr. Chairman, members, the idea of working on the language, but I would say that the language was proposed for one reason, I guess, is that is if a as we discussed in my prior testimony, these wetland issues require an on-the-ground determination. If we get an application in the local government in November, there's no way they're going to be able to make a decision about whether that on-the-ground determination that's been made previously can be correct or not within 60 days because they'll be trying to do this in the middle of winter. And so they left with two choices. One, deny the application because they can't act on it, which is not in the best interest of anyone to make someone reapply for something and just in order to meet this 60-day requirement. Or number two, not act, which means the approval would be granted without any conscious decision. So either of those are poor choices in our opinion. So we believe some language to address that is important. The other language in section 16 is included because we've had examples where the appeal period, which is a 60-day period as well, someone would make an appeal on the 59th day, giving a local decision body only one day to turn around a determination on that. We need to have some practicality there so that people don't try and use that approach to get a decision or to make a decision impossible at a local level. So those are the purposes behind these two sections.
Mr. Coyle.
Can I just offer one brief response back to Mr. Jaski's comments? I don't know that I disagree with anything he said in terms of his point of view about it, but I just want the committee to understand the process that we work through when we submit an application. The cities write the rules, and they're obligated to follow state law when they write the rules. And virtually every developer client, builder client that I work with, when we go to a city or a county, the rules will compel us to submit everything that we know about the wetland situation on our property. And they will compel us to submit any delineation information we have on the front end. And if the city or the county is not satisfied with the information that we've given them, they don't have to process our application. So they can say, don't come in the door until you have it. That's point one. Point two, if they feel at any time that the information we've given them is incomplete or wrong, they can say, denied, go away. So we're not resisting the science aspect of this. What I'm trying to suggest to you respectfully is the process already encompasses that issue. And if at some point the regulatory body, the city council, the town board, the county board, determines that there's information that's lacking that's required by state law, the statute already allows them to toll the process. So our view is the language is unnecessary, and we think, frankly, it creates a loophole that will essentially undercut the whole premise of the 60-day rule. That's my comment, Mr. Chairman. Thanks very much.
Representative Hansen?
I was just guessing there may be more people that want to...
Anybody else in the audience would like to discuss House File 577 as amended? Give your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members, Dan Larson, representing the Minnesota Rural Counties Caucus today. And I have not spoken to the author about this issue and a developing concern among our counties. We're 24 counties that operate as a caucus within the Association of Minnesota Counties. We want to recognize there's a number of positive changes in the amended version of the bill, but in our opinion, it's not quite there yet. And we have some significant concerns pertaining to, I believe, Section 10 of the bill, the de minimis portion of the bill, whereby the de minimis or the area of wetland that can be affected or impacted without needing to replace wetlands somewhere else in counties that are less than 80% counties of pre-settlement wetlands, the 50 to 80% counties and the below 50% counties would be cut by half, by 50%. So we believe this is a significant policy shift affecting a relatively insignificant amount of regulated wetland acres within the WACA. So it's estimated that somewhere in the area of 25 acres annually are impacted under this section, or under this provision, and that we see significant costs. We've heard testimony from Bowser staff that cost estimates for local government units or counties would be in the area of $400,000 to $500,000 annually to address this concern. So, if you look at a cost-benefit relationship, you could look at it a couple of different ways. Why not just buy a number of wetland acres that would be regulated under save the cost and administrative difficulties of administering the program and just buy additional wetlands and pocket the rest of the money. But Also want to point out that the funding, there's no additional funding in the bill to address these concerns. So the funding currently in the version of the bill, as I understand it, does not address this additional significant cost. One last point, Mr. Chairman, is the recommendations are not coming based on any empirical data that shows us the amount of wetland acres that have been gained and lost in total outside of the Wetland Conservation Act, and these would be conservation acres, prep, rim, those kind of programs are not taken into account in the wetland in the Wetland Conservation Act, and we think that's very significant. We should, before we start thinking about changing or reducing the amount of de minimis in a certain area for certain counties, we ought to have a complete and entire picture. And we understand that the department, DNR, working with PCA and several other agencies, are currently conducting a comprehensive assessment of the wetlands gained and lost, and that they're looking in the next year or two. I think 2009 is what they're talking about. They'll start the rollout of what's really happening statewide. And I just want to make that point, and this is going to be a developing concern. Representative, I will come and talk to you about this.
Well, Representative Hansen or Mr. Jasky, you like to respond to that? Or?
I would just like Mr. Jasky to respond about the stakeholder process that has taken place over the last year.
Mr. Jasky.
Mr. Members, the stakeholder process that Representative Hansen alludes to began a little over a year ago. The governor asked the Clean Water Cabinet to convene a group of interests, including public sector, private sector, from all different perspectives, to talk about how to do a couple of things. One, how to take some steps closer towards no net loss, because there was evidence, and no evidence is perfect. Mr. Larson alluded to the data. While we get the best data we can, and we try and improve it every year, take some steps closer to no net loss, because there were losses occurring and still are and still will be to some extent under the wetland protection programs. And the second piece was to try and achieve some greater administrative efficiencies in how we carry these programs out. So there are some costs when you do more protection. Certainly, Representative Hansen noted that in the bill that now is 577, there is some additional funding in there for local governments to do additional wetland protection efforts, as well as to the state agencies that are responsible. It's hard to know exactly if they're perfectly proportional or not, but certainly they're going in the same direction.
Representative Hansen.
I just would note for the record, I think yesterday, Stead and I and Mr. Chairman engaged in capital investment, $8 million for the Wetland Reserve Program by more
right.
Lands restored on private lands. So,
I'm sure there are more.
Anybody else like to testify? Or Representative Engelstad, too.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, this Section 10 that we've been talking about. I know my county roads people have expressed concern about it as well. You know, in an open county, there's so many wetlands and we're growing this area where we're, always expanding and building more roads. And, my county people tell me that the current system seems to be working okay, and that there's going to be a lot of changes that will be extra cost to the taxpayers. So can you comment on that?
Mr. Jasby.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pingelstead, these de minimis amounts are something that was certainly debated a great deal in the stakeholder process that I mentioned earlier. And these are the recommendations that came out of that process. Certainly, you can't get closer to knowing that loss if you don't have some additional protection measures included. One point regarding the county road authority perspective, and this is true statewide, and for that matter, it applies to townships and cities as well. About 10 years ago, the legislature provided for the state to do the mitigation for all of the local road authority impacts to work on an existing road improvement project. So the state does take care of that through a consolidated process. The state provides the funding for that, and so this de minimis amounts really wouldn't affect local road authorities really much whatsoever.
Any other questions? This, State your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Keith Carlson. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association, and I had not planned on speaking on this, but I do have to correct the information regarding the impact on roads. The current state program that Mr. Jaschke referred to only provides state assistance for shoulder work, turn lanes, improvements to existing roadways and lanes. As soon as a new lane or a new roadway is built, it's completely on the local dime, basically on local property taxes. We, consistent with the information that Representative Tingelstedt has been hearing from her county, who is a member of my association, we do fear that this bill will have substantial costs for counties as well as cities, as well as the state DOT. We also will be talking to the author to share those concerns. But I just wanted to clarify that one point. The state program only deals with costs relating to existing roadways. It does not pay for the costs for new lanes or new roads.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to testify? Come on down.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is John Waller. I'm from 14310 Homestead Avenue in Hugo, Minnesota, and I'm representing the Waller Family Farm here, and I want to talk to you about the agricultural activities in the drainage section. I've been before this committee before, and I handed out some handouts, and I'm going to ask you to recall them for a minute. We were talking about some flooding on my family farm, and we happened to be assessed, and we pointed out to you that we were had a pre-existing drainage property right that exists from 1910, and that's prior to any of this public waters, public water wetlands, even the Conservation Department, which in 1925 was named the Conservation Department. Before that, it was the Department of Drainage, and we had a Commissioner of Drainage in the state. And so we maintain that we owned a pre-existing, non-conforming to those rules, wetland areas. Now let's say, for example, talk about the future, that we're going to actually get the water back off Waller Farm and use Judicial Ditch Number 2, Branch 2, as it's intended. Under your Section Number 5, in order for us to do that, let's talk about Section 5, Item Number E. And that's where we would have to show 8 out of the last 10 years of a crop history. That's pretty difficult to do when it's underwater. So we don't have any crop history. We don't have any exemption. So now we have to go for our 22 acres that are underwater, and we have to purchase, say, wetland credits. Now, I don't have any current figures for you, but I'll give you an example of what it cost about 10 years ago when the city of Hugo bought 1 acre in Washington County. It was $25,000 to replace. But we have a 2-to-1 ratio. So now that was $50,000 for everyone. So for us to use our 22 acres there, once this is done, right, we would have to come up with $1.1 million in wetland credits at that price 10 years ago. I think this is really an undue burden on anyone, because we're not going to be able to drain. They don't want us to get in there and start putting in new tiles or even grass waterways to the ditch connect already paid the assessment for, and that we currently pay every year an ad valorem tax to the watershed district and a maintenance tax for the ditch, because our ditch is kind of special in our watershed district. They've allowed drainage from outside of the benefited area that was originally made into ours, right across our farm. That's how we... I ask you to take a look at that. Bert, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gaskin, would you like to comment?
Just a couple points in reverse order, I guess. Mr. Waller referred to two sections. The first was the Section 6, he mentioned normal farming practices. I don't believe any of them are here, but the agricultural organizations that we consulted with when this language was put together, this was put into the original agency bill, and then it became part of Representative Hansen's bill, and now it's becoming part of this omnibus bill. But they specifically asked for a definition in this provision that would apply just to this section, so they understood exactly what normal farming practices were. There's no intent to have that definition go anywhere else and stay right here in this specific part of statute. The second point about the harvesting 8 of 10 years. This language applies to areas that are eligible to drain wetlands without replacement. They're exempt from replacement. And I should just point out that that's an item E that's been added, so it's a provision that allows for some impacts or some drainage to occur. There's also several more items above that, B, C, D, et cetera, that also allow for drainage of certain wetlands with certain conditions and certain wetland types. Those provisions are not being altered. Those are still in existence as they have been previously. So we're not taking away any of those drainage rights that were established in the law many years ago.
Anyone else have any comments from the audience? Seeing none. Representative Hansen, if you'd like to renew your motion, to have House File 577 pass as amended.
Yes, I would. And refer to the environmental finance.
And refer to environmental finance. Any comments from the members? Closing?
With the recommendation to pass.
With the recommendation to pass. Okay, everybody has the motion. All in favor of having House File 577 as amended be referred to environmental finance with recommendation to pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you, members.
Thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.